time for Local Hero Spotlight with Tessa White Diamond from Diamond Farm in Wendell and Phil Corman from CESA, the Local Hero folks. First question, what came first, the turkey or the eggs?
Very debatable. I'm not going to get involved in that.
What about a Diamond Farm? What came first? Because when I get Diamond Farm products, I'll be at my local supermarket and there's a cardboard carton of Diamond Farm dozen eggs right there.
Yeah, it's mostly eggs unless I splurge and I get a pie.
But pies are another thing that my family is a big fan of from Diamond Farm. So as a business model, what came first, the turkeys or the eggs?
The chickens.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my grandparents started with the chickens years ago.
So even before turkeys?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, the turkeys we didn't start doing until 1989.
So it was the chickens
first. Was the chickens, uh-huh. Yep. My grandparents started the farm back in 1936 and raised their dozen kids along with the chickens.
They all grew up in the egg carton.
Like. Yes, that's exactly what it was.
It's much easier to make the rooms that way.
And no one can complain that their room is bigger than the others.
Yeah. Yes, they did, but we won't get into that.
And I know your mom, Annie Diamond, who's one of those dozen.
Mm-hmm.
How many of the original dozen kids are still involved in the farm? Your mom is still involved in the farm.
Yep, so my mom, Ann, she's still working the farm. My uncle Peter, he's one of the owners. He's semi-retired. And then my aunt Faith, she's fully retired for the most part, but she's still one of the owners.
Mm-hmm.
But then I do have my aunt Judy, my aunt Mary. They help quite a bit. People can't quite get away, even if they try.
And you tried.
I did try, yes.
You succeeded for a good couple of years before coming back.
Right. I went off to college, studied social work for a bit. Did not think farming was going to be where I ended up. But after about a dozen years, it's where I came back, where I wanted to do.
That dozen keeps coming up.
It keeps coming up. Can't get away from it.
Perfect for eggs. I don't want to divulge your entire story because you're going to divulge your entire story as part of CESA's storytelling event happening on Sunday, March 10th, Field Notes at the Academy of Music. But give us a little taste of where you left to and why. What brought you back.
Sure. Yeah. So my story, pretty much, and what I'll be telling at Field Notes, is about me growing up on the farm, how I did help, did not think it would be my gig, and did social work for many years, but ultimately came back. And there was, you're always wondering, like, is this really where I'm supposed to be, no matter what you're doing? And there was this moment that I'll talk about that it was kind of like this light bulb, like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be.
I love that you're going to be talking a little bit about ambivalence and doubt because, well, I sort of live with that every day.
I think almost everybody does.
I feel like everyone does.
Yeah. But, to know that we're walking through our days and that we always have some doubt whether we're really good at that or not, and sometimes we're impassioned and sometimes we're not, is really a kind of an everyday story of everyday life. We haven't even said where your farm is, so can you share that?
Sure, yeah. My farm is in Wendell, Mass., about 15 minutes from Greenfield. It's about 5 minutes off Route 2. So we're definitely off the beaten path, but once you get there, we have a full farm store that we sell all of our meats that we raise. We raise chickens for eggs, chickens for meat. We have turkeys, and we have beef cows, and then we have a commercial kitchen where you can buy a whole slew of meals that we make right there, and you can see us cooking while you're buying your foods.
So, Tessa, out of the four of us, you're the only person who's been with all the other storytellers.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just give us a little sense of the diversity of folks and ways of life and walks of life that people are coming forth from to tell their stories?
Sure. Yeah. We've only met once, but it was very interesting to meet with, gosh, I think it's 10 of us who will be telling quite a variety of stories. There's farmers, other farmers like me, but then there are people who have had more of an academic approach to farming, and there's going to be, I think, two other languages, stories being told in a couple different languages. So it's going to be a pretty interesting event, a quite vast array of stories from different backgrounds.
And the event is called Field Notes. It's put on by CESA. It'll be at the Academy of Music on Sunday, March 10th, and I'm emceeing.
I didn't know that.
You asked me, Phil.
Oh, right.
Weeks ago, I think.
Yeah. Months ago.
Yeah.
I think that Field Notes is such a cool version of, like, the modern storytelling on stage movement. Why is it really important to get up on stage and make sure that people see a wide array of what farming actually looks like?
I love that question. First, I want to say, like, I feel like CISA's whole mission is to bridge that gap between people who are growing our food and preparing our food, delivering our food, and all of us who need to eat the food. And when we get to see these people on stage, first of all, it's like, oh, maybe I know that person, maybe I don't, but it's a person who has a story to tell, and they are the ones telling the story. No one else is telling their story. And I also think that we've always tried to give more power back to farmers that's been taken away since industrialization and before. And to have our farmers be center stage is kind of a beautiful thing. My hope is that there are people in the audience who both may see that they could take this path and or that they may have a story to tell about food, preparing it, cooking it, growing it.
What about you, Tessa White Diamond, who's going to be one of the storytellers at Field Notes? What does this mean to you?
Well, I love this event, period, and I'm very honored to be part of it. When they accepted my story, I was very, very excited. And I just think it's a great opportunity for people to have a face to a name. You may have seen Diamond Eggs in the grocery store or our turkey pot pies, but don't really know much about us. So this is a chance for, you know, me and other farmers and other people in the farming community to get up, tell our story, and you get to see a little bit about what it takes to actually put that food on your table.
I think a lot of people during the pandemic realized the supply chain issues inherent in the food system that we live in. And the price of eggs went off the charts, out of control, 6 ways from Sunday. Diamond Farm consistently had eggs available and were affordable in local grocery stores. Can you tell us a little bit about what the cost is of putting a dozen eggs into a grocery store?
Well, for us, we try to keep our prices as consistent as possible. We really don't like our prices to fluctuate. However, it is a lot of work to put those eggs on your table. Quite a few years ago, I think it was back in 2017, some regulations changed where we had our chickens in cages, and some regulations happened that we had to go cage-free. So we did that. We actually were granted the FSIG, Food Security Infrastructure Grant, which was wonderful that we were able to change our whole system, and it really helped. However, to get your eggs from the chicken, from the nest, we do everything by hand. So we go in there 3 times a day. We collect those eggs by hand, process them by hand, pack them by hand, and then we deliver them ourselves. We don't have any middleman. It's all us. You know, it's important for us that we're involved in pretty much every single aspect of our product, no matter the eggs, the chickens, the turkeys, the cows, except one caveat with the cows, we do send our cows to Adams Farm in Athol because they're licensed to process.
But you're processing all the birds.
There are birds on your farm.
Oh, yes. Very important. That's... all of our birds are done on site.
That's hard.
Yes, very hard. So once they're a day old to the very last day, everything is done on our farm.
And I think what often consumers don't realize is for a small farmer, when costs go up for everything, they're going up for the farmer too. So fuel and all the inputs and the cardboard cartons and all of that. And even, you know, labor has gone up for all the farms. We're glad about that as long as farms can continue their sustainability financially. And so here you have a local farm that understands that people in the community have limited resources. And so they actually feel the pain of the people they sell to also, unlike national chains that will just gouge whenever they can. So I have this romantic notion, maybe you'll dispel it, that really what Diamond Farm is a farm that's not just feeding its family like we did 100 years ago where you were raising everything you could and feeding your own family, but you're actually now this outlet to feed other families, but everything is still mostly grown on the farm, and you do some wholesale too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. So we sell on the farm in our farm store, but we also do, Monty, as you mentioned, and Kalise, we sell to other places. We sell to Atkins and Amherst, Millstone and Sunderland, River Valley. We do Quabbin Harvest and Orange. So there's a variety of different places that we sell to. So we try as much as possible to have our food be in other places because we know not everybody can make it to our cute little store in Wendell.
Shout out to Food City, Turner's Falls.
Oh, yep.
That's
Food City.
Diamond Farm eggs all the time.
Absolutely.
Go down to the big city.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it. We're talking with Tess White Diamond from Diamond Farm and Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero, folks.
I keep wanting to make Steven Universe jokes, and I'm holding it back.
Which one?
Just because there's so many diamonds.
Oh, yes. Oh,
she's
yeah.
Tessa White Diamond.
Oh, that's
and,
right.
And, like, are there pink and blue and yellow diamonds on the farm?
Amethyst and pearl.
We are the crystal gems.
There are not.
You do have a commercial kitchen.
We do.
And you did bring some goodies
with you.
I did.
See?
Yes. What do we have here?
So I brought some almond crescent cookies that are gluten-free.
Wow, nice.
Perfect with tea and coffee. I see you got some almost out.
It is coffee.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, we need to get a refill with this.
Can I have 30 seconds to go get...
If you get me a refill.
I'll get you a refill.
Meanwhile... Now we can talk about her behind your back.
So I also have chicken brown rice soup.
Mm.
This is going to be a new wholesale product that we're going to be selling at different stores. We sell it, of course, at our farm store.
Yeah, the soup is
delicious.
This is
great. This is perfect for days like this because it's still soup weather.
Now Phil's breaking into the gluten-free, what is it,
almond cookies.
So you have a commercial kitchen. How long has it been open? How long have you been doing the catering end of this?
So it actually was an offshoot of the turkeys. So when we started the turkeys back in 1989, we started with just 500. Now we do up to 5,000 a year. And there was a point where there was a surplus of turkey. And so it was after Thanksgiving, and we had too many turkeys. What do you do with turkeys? And I believe it was actually my Aunt Faith, I think it might have been her original idea, along with my mom, that they decided to do pot pies. And then so from there, they kind of fashioned what the pot pie recipe would be, you know, the crust and all of that. And then maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago, there was a friend of my Aunt Faith who said, you know, well, why not have her come? I think it was at Thanksgiving time, make some muffins and whatnot for the crew. And then it just expanded from there to, okay, let's have a little farm store. Let's have some display coolers. It was self-serve at that point. And then it just got to be a little too busy. So then we had it fully staffed. So now we're open on Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. People can come in and buy whatever they want.
These cookies are incredible. With the coffee that Khalees went to go get. Mwah. Delicious.
I will get to there. You have to have dinner before you can have dinner.
Yeah, I already had the soup. Now, you are the third generation of this Diamond Farm, and you will be telling a story about what brought you back to the farm after growing up on the farm and leaving the farm. Is there a fourth generation on the horizon that we see?
Not quite yet.
Uh-huh.
But what I do have to say is, you know, 10 years ago, I would not have said that I'd be back on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows what's, you know, 5-10 years down the road, 15 years. We really don't know what's going to happen. It's a lot of my cousins. They have kids and they love coming around to the farm. So we will see if any one of them decides that it's going to be their thing.
Are you
the
planting
future can surprise
any seeds?
Us.
Are you planting any seeds
they always
with any
love
of your
to.
Nephews and nieces
Laying
or cousins?
Any eggs?
Well, lots of my cousins, when they come around, they like to, you know, be on the tractor. They like to always check the cows, the chickens, the turkeys. So they really get a kick out of it. They're still very young. They're in elementary school and younger. So let's give them a little bit of time.
Yeah, let them graduate from middle school. Yeah.
When did beef enter the picture? Because I always think of you as poultry.
That was in the 90s.
What happened in the 90s to make all of these big changes? It seems like a lot of things happened.
No, that's
right
a great
then.
Question. So at that point, the farm was supporting 4 households. So that's why the farm in 1989 got into raising turkeys. And then from there, the beef came along. And then at one point, we got a sawmill. And so now we have a sawmill. We do our own lumber.
Oh, wow.
And that was, yeah, so we do quite a bit.
And I think what people don't always realize is how many changes farms go through as they try to adapt their business to meet new consumer demand, meet new market demands. And so Diamond Farm has gone through many transformations over the years.
Mm-hmm. We have diversified quite a bit, and I really don't want to diversify much more because we have our hands in a lot of different pots. But what I love about what we've done is we're not in one market. So if one market, you know, let's say the chickens don't do well one year, that's not going to completely break us. It's going to hurt us, but we have these other things to fall back on. So that's one thing that my family has, you know, done really good over the years.
Tessa White Diamond is one of the storytellers at CESA's storytelling event, Field Notes, happening Sunday, March 10th at the Academy of Music in Northampton, and is the third generation farmer behind Diamond Farm in Wendell. You can learn more about CESA's storytelling event and all of the farmers that CESA, the local hero folks, work with, alongside Phil Corman from CESA, at buylocalfood.org.
I'm putting all my eggs in one.